Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Okay, you're a space guy, right? You're kind of, I asked you some questions off air before, and you just went with it, like, gave me lots of information. So if you...
Way more than you wanted,
way more than I needed, but helpful all the same.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Now, here are your hosts, Vince Petrano and Michelle Richards.
About 11 minutes after 9 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News. Michelle in for Eric as we take you up until 10 o'clock this morning on this Tuesday. So much to talk about going in Washington, the war in Iran, what Secretary Pete Hegseth in the Defense Department said will be pivotal days over the next few. We also have TSA wait lines starting to dwindle after an emergency action to pay those TSA workers, but it's not a long-term solution. On all this and more from Washington, we bring in CBS News White House reporter Olivia Rinaldi. Morning, Olivia.
Hi, good morning.
So I want to start with TSA first, because then maybe we'll hit a lull here where we're not talking about it until we have to talk about it again. But I was watching this closely. My daughter lives in New York, and she was trying to get on a flight out of LaGuardia. And there's no more helpless feeling than when your kid's asking you for advice, and I can't give any. She assumes, as I'm sure you get this from family, since we work in the news, we are omniscient and know all things. Like, what time should I get to the airport? I didn't know what to tell her, Olivia, but since TSA workers are now starting to see that pay show up, the lines at some of the biggest trouble spots are dwindling.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, to her credit, I still ask my dad when I get to the airport, my flight is delayed, what I should do. So I understand
good.
That. But yeah, the president last week on Friday signed this executive order, finding some pay that they can give these TSA agents. We're told those paychecks hit their accounts yesterday. It's not the full back pay, and it's not even anything to really cover all of the pay that they have lost over the last 2 months. But it is something for now. And as a result, we've seen some of the lines at the nation's airports go down slightly. Of course, Houston was really the big, big issue airport when it came to this. Same with Atlanta as well. We're told those lines are down from their heights. Of course, their peaks were at 5 to 6 hours of wait time. But now they're lower than that. So it appears to be getting better, but ultimately Congress still hasn't made a deal. I mean, these TSA agents have been paid because the president signed an executive order, but Congress is out of session. They're actually on recess. They're on vacation for the next 2 weeks, not working here in Washington, not solving this problem. So this, unfortunately, is going to continue until they make some sort of deal to figure out how they're going to fund the Department of Homeland Security.
Olivia Rinaldi is with us from the White House this morning in Washington. So, yeah, you mentioned it's something for now. I thought that was really well said for these TSA workers. Caroline Leavitt, White House press secretary, was adamant that the president wants lawmakers to come back now. I think, did she suggest even that he wanted to host them over the Easter holiday? Said, let's come here and then I can pressure them in person. But as you suggested, they're not going to come back for a week and a half yet.
Yeah, I find it really hard to see all of those lawmakers coming back at the president's request, because the pressure point's gone, right? The pressure point was the TSA agents who weren't getting paid, and now they are getting paid in this, you know, executive order funding that they found. So really, there's no reason for them to come back right now and for them to take their break. Also, it's the Holy Week, it's Passover, it's Easter. All of these lawmakers have plans that they don't seem willing to give up. So at this moment in time, it's hard to see that they'd be willing to come back at the president's request right now. But never say never. Who knows? Maybe they will.
So TSA officers are being paid, but other workers are not, such as FEMA or even the Coast Guard. And we're hearing from the American Federation of Government Employees President Everett Kelly, and he's quoted, "No check, no relief, no apology as Congress packed their bags and left these American families to struggle alone."
Yeah, that's right. I mean, FEMA is not being paid. Other aspects of DHS is not being paid. We're told the Coast Guard is being paid. Active duty members of the Coast Guard are being paid, so you're not hearing too much from them. But still, it's, you know, paychecks, investigations, where, you know, at this time of year in spring, it's tornado season, and then we're rounding out into hurricane season. That's critical time for FEMA. It's critical time for them to handle these weather-related disasters that happen that they are required to respond to. And you got to think in this moment, all of the disasters from winter that they are working to respond to but are perhaps held up at this moment, you know, you're now getting into a point where this could spell trouble for the future. And I know, Eric, you and I have talked about this, of just in Wisconsin alone having flooding issues that have not been responded to yet by the federal government and FEMA. You know, these are the types of things that have trickle-down effects that impact everyone's communities.
Olivia Rinaldi joins us from Washington this morning. Let's shift our attention to the war in Iran. Olivia, as I mentioned, Secretary Pete Hegseth has suggested the next few days could be pivotal. Is there a knowledge? You heard from your Pentagon colleagues as to why these next few days are, as the Secretary suggested, pivotal?
Well, we saw over the weekend and into yesterday the first tranche of those Marines that were stationed out in the South China Sea have now come over to this region and are now in place. The thought being that now they're building up this type of force. You have about 12,000, you know, new military members that are there. It's the greatest fighting force that has been there in the last 20 years, the amount of them at least. So the idea being is something is coming, right, that they're gearing up for. We're told today, Secretary Hegseth briefed reporters today. It was the first time in 12 days that he's done so. And he said there's a dual track happening here. And Caroline Leavitt said something yesterday from the White House podium, which is very similar, that they're pursuing diplomacy. And they say that's being pursued aggressively, that there is movement happening. But at the same time, strikes are ramping up because they're trying to get Iran to this pressure point where they have to capitulate, where they're so pushed into a corner that they must make a deal with the United States. At the same time, though, we're seeing Iran continue to strike U.S. bases in the region, U.S. assets in the region, Israeli assets in the region, Israel itself. So they still have some capability. Even though this Pentagon is saying that, you know, their military is destroyed, their navy is destroyed, they're still showing they have a fighting force and they're willing to use it. But ultimately, yeah, we're told the next week or so, it's the critical moment because we're about 5 weeks into this war. The U.S. says they're focused on achieving its objectives. Israel says they're about halfway done with striking their objectives. So you're at this critical juncture point where it's going to keep ramping up and keep staying at this pace while they're trying to pursue diplomacy. At the same time, the clock is ticking to reopen the Strait of Hormuz because you're starting to see oil prices continue to rise. You know, there's wariness in that market. And I've talked to experts who say that, you know, it could go as high as $200 a barrel.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not nearly there yet. That would be, you know, if we're months and months and months into this conflict. But you're starting to hear the president call out to allies and saying, you need to do more and you need to step up and start manning the Strait of Hormuz, because there has been reporting that the president has said he could pull out of, you know, Iran, declare victory and leave the Strait of Hormuz the way it is right now, not opened, and a sticking point for Iran. And leave it to allies in the region who get most of their oil through there and say, you know what, this is for you. You have to handle this now.
Well, and to your point about the concerns that the rising price of oil causes across the globe, there are increased concerns of a potential global recession because, yes, the R word is out there, because of how fuel costs impact everything else that we do, shipping and our ability to get food and all of those things. And on top of that, if the president ever wants the Fed to drop interest rates to the point that he'd like to see it, they're going to continue to be reluctant to do that. He also watches the stock market closely, which today, notwithstanding, has had a couple of really down days. So there are a lot of things that the president doesn't like, at least in the short term, during this war.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And he feels those pressure points, you know, as it relates to the stock market, as it relates to the price of oil. And this is something I'm told that White House advisors in particular are watching closely, because you have to think, too, we're also in a midterm year, right? And you are going to feel, and we're already seeing Americans getting upset for high prices. Gas is just the start of it, because diesel prices are off the charts as well. And then you start dealing with issues like farmers not being able to afford fertilizer, which is made from natural gas. They use natural gas to make fertilizer. So the price of that is going up. That leads to higher prices of food. You know, it also goes into goes through the Strait of Hormuz, and that, you know, Americans consume on a daily basis or use on a daily basis, plastic. All these things that, you know, have to go through the Strait of Hormuz, go to these Asian countries, make cheap goods for Americans that then we buy, all of those prices are going to go up as a result of this. So this is really the tip of the spear. And experts I have talked to have said we really have not felt the full financial impact of this yet. The White House is aware that these prices and the affordability conversation are a problem for them. And this is going to continue to be a problem until, you know, they end this war. Caroline Leavitt earlier this morning on the news that gas prices have hit $4 across the nation told us this is just a short-term thing. Once the war's over, those prices will come down. But I think as we have all seen, especially after the war in Ukraine spiked prices around the world and caused inflation and caused numerous economic issues, it doesn't quite just go back to normal.
High doesn't prices snap don't right back, yeah. Back down. And yeah, then the uncertainty don't. Of and when will that be, right?
Right. And then as you mentioned, too, when will it be? But also the lasting ramifications as it happens with rate cuts, mortgage rates, your ability to borrow, all of those things are months long economic pictures. And that economic picture is changing right now. And it's changing what it will look like in 6 months, in a year from now, 2 years from now, perhaps.
So Olivia Rinaldi, live with us. Sorry.
No, it's okay. They made this choice, and so now we'll see the economic ramifications of it.
Live with us from Washington this morning. Make sure you call your dad and tell him thank you for always answering your questions.
I will.
He'll appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Olivia. She's with us on Tuesdays from CBS at the White House. 9:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Five on Wisconsin's Morning News. Just a quick weather note. About 5 minutes left in the severe thunderstorm warning issued by the National Weather Service for Fond du Lac County, WTMJ Fleet Farm Storm Team Alert. As a big cluster of storms reaching from almost Waupun up to Appleton, and then some more storms now entering the Green Bay area, no additional severe weather alerts have been issued. So some of those storms may be on the strong side, but nothing severe but for the severe thunderstorm warning that was issued for Fond du Lac County that is set to expire. We'll keep an eye on that. Meanwhile, you see some rain activity popping up in Milwaukee and Ozaukee counties as well, maybe touching Washington County. So it sounds like this stuff is going to be around through the day, these on and off showers and storms. Brewers and Tampa Bay Rays go again tonight, as we talked about with manager Pat Murphy earlier, at American Family Field. Cool thing to share, I'm serving as co-chair for UPAF's annual community campaign. We're working to raise $9.5 million for the performing arts this year. And my co-chair for the campaign is Cecilia Gore. She is executive director for the Brewers Community Foundation. Well, Cecilia invited UPAF organizers and donors and supporters to the ballpark on Monday. A quartet from Milwaukee's Florentine Opera sang the national anthem, and the foundation had one of those giant checks. And I got to stand there with Cecilia and the president and the CEO of UPAF as she presented that check for $10,000 from the Brewers Community Foundation. So Amory Scobie-Polacek and I were there. Amory is the president and CEO of UPAF, and we get to mug for the cameras and wave and got up on the big screen accepting that check. And Amory also threw out the first pitch.
It was a pretty good first pitch. Did you feel good about it?
Oh, I loved it. It was so much fun. The best thing about the whole thing was watching the Florentine Opera, though, sing the national anthem. That was my favorite part.
And then the second favorite was getting a big old check from the Brewers.
Right. Yes, that might have actually been the
favorite.
Might have
been the favorite.
Yes. No, the Brewers have been so generous. We are so thankful for Cecilia being a co-chair along with you, Vince. I don't know what we'd do without the two of you. You're just moving us through Milwaukee and lifting up the arts. Thank you so much.
And we're off to a good start, right, with the campaign?
We are. We are. We've got $4.4 million in. Heading towards our goal of $9.5 million. We're really hoping that all the workplace giving campaigns coming up in April, that folks will just join in the fun and understand what the arts mean to our city, what arts education means for kids, and just participate. That's all we ask.
And, of course, the UPAF Ride for the Arts presented by Miller Lite, end of May.
Yes, May 31st on a Sunday. You have a chance to ride over the Hone. Registration is open. You can also fundraise through your registration link. And it's just a wonderful day to ride your bikes with 3,000 of your closest friends and then enjoy UPAF Fest afterwards.
What a great first pitch. Congrats.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for being there, and thanks for all your work as co-chair. We couldn't do it without you, Vince.
Ah, well, they could. They've done it without me for many years. Text UPAF, UPAF, to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line for more information. Tomorrow morning, four human beings could be just hours away from a journey that will take them the furthest away from the planet Earth that humans have ever been.
Happening maybe.
Now, this still gets a happening maybe. Because it's space flight and it's hard and it's NASA and a lot of times there are delays and things like that. We saw this just last month. Things can go wrong prior to launch and stop the clock. But this morning, the countdown clock is ticking at Kennedy Space Center in Florida. NASA is getting set to launch Artemis II, the Artemis cluster of missions intending to put astronauts back walking on the surface of the moon by 2038.
Certainly all indications are right now we are in excellent shape.
So that's one of the launch directors for NASA with the qualified, we're in good shape right now prior to launch. So when the window opens, which is tomorrow evening, that's 5:24 our time, 6:34 Eastern, and you hear NASA talk from time to time of windows, it just means when things are lined up right for the launch to occur. But the window opens and then it closes, and you can have several windows in a long-term availability over the course of a week or more. So this is the first time the window, quote-unquote, opens, and then we will have that opportunity to launch. So you're looking at 5:24 our time for the first opportunity to send Artemis II up.
Meanwhile, the crew, the astronauts, are unveiling their zero-gravity indicator, which was actually designed, was designed by a second grader. So, okay, you're a space guy, right? You're kind of, I asked you some questions off air before and you just went with it, like gave me lots of information. So if you,
way more than you wanted,
way more than I needed, but helpful all the same.
Okay.
If you had to guess what a zero gravity indicator looks like, what would you say?
Well, if it were, I suppose you could do it digitally because you would have that out there. But if it's designed by a kid, I don't know. It's some sort of like ball that goes up or down or something like that in a tube.
It's a plushie.
Now,
it's like a stuffed animal.
And how does that indicate zero gravity?
If it floats. Very scientific.
No.
I'm serious.
I'm not the biggest science nerd
when
of them all.
When it floats, there's zero gravity.
Fair enough, I guess. Question asked, question answered. 20 minutes.
Oh, you don't want to know what it looks like?
Oh,
real quick.
What kind of plushie is it?
It's a moon, a smiley moon face with a baseball cap that is like Earth on the top. And then the bill of the cap is like rockets and stars and meteors. And
okay.
It's cute. It's adorable.
I mean, the other thing is, too, when you're in space and you're in zero G, you pretty much know it because you're floating, too. 9:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News. 9:43 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This guy's stand-up is red hot. He was in the movie Spinal Tap 2, The End Continues. He's got a podcast titled Heightened Babble, and he's selling his own line of hot sauce as well. And when I tell you what it's called, you're going to know the guy I'm talking about. The hot sauce is called Death by Dwarf.
I got vaccinated. Now, I was very lucky. I didn't have any side effects. None. But some people did. Some people had side effects. Don't get me wrong. I was worried. I was scared there was going to be side effects. What if one of the side effects is like, it cures dwarfism? That would suck for me. I'd have to rewrite all of these jokes. My wife would leave me because she's got a fetish.
That is Brad Williams. Brad is 4.5 feet tall, and he leans in hard every bit of it to do his comedy. He's coming back to Milwaukee for a show at the Riverside less than a couple of weeks out. Brad Williams back on with us here on Wisconsin's Morning News. Great to talk to you again, Brad.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for giving me an extra few inches saying I'm 4.5 feet tall. My God, what an ego boost in the morning.
Well,
oh,
what do you,
that's great.
What should we have you at?
I'm walking around. I'd say my fighting height would be about 4'4".
Okay, well, we'll give you 4.5. It's like the football program. That's never accurate.
Very, very true. But I'm stoked to be coming back to Milwaukee. I know the last time I was there, I was at the Pabst Theater. But now we're moving on up, and we're doing the Riverside April 11th. So really stoked. The audience was one of the best of the tour in 2024. So happy to be back.
That's cool. The Riverside, you'll note, has a similar feel to the Pabst. But yeah, we can pack a few hundred more people in there for you. I want to get to a lot of the stuff that you're doing with the business empire and all of that that you're building. But just for folks who might not be familiar with you and with your comedy, I think this is such an interesting point to talk about. You refer to yourself as a dwarf. Is that cool? Like, honest question here. Are there some who prefer other terms, and do you offend some of your own with your comedy?
Hey, man. So let's go down the full gamut of that answer. So, I know because this is on the radio, and I don't sound like a little person. I don't call you up like, I'll call the brother, I'm playing a little like, that's not me. And if you heard my name and you're going, Brad Williams, who's that guy? Well, if a dwarf told you a joke on Instagram, that's me. So now that you got the reference point, dwarf or little person, those are considered the politically correct terms. If you want to go super PC, you say LP, like a record. That would be super PC. The word you're not supposed to say is the M. I'm saying M as in motorboat. The M word, midget. That is the one you are not supposed to say. I say it every now and then. To me, the word is all about context in terms of how you're using it. But in general, if you see a little person on the street, don't yell out, hey, look, there's a midget. That's not really proper. Although if you said, hey, look, there's a dwarf to a random stranger, that's probably not great either. Because to me, it's all about context. There was one time where I did a show in Odessa, Texas, and at some point got a heckler, and he got thrown out. And I thought, well, all is good. And I finished the show. After the show, I'm getting into the rental car to go back to the hotel, and we see lights turn on in the parking lot, and there's a pickup truck starts revving its engine and coming towards us, and a guy leans out the window and yells out, kill the dwarf. Now, in that moment, I didn't stop and say, thank you for using the proper terminology. It wasn't the dwarf part that offended me. It was more the kill the that offended me. So, yes, I would say in general, it's all about context. But in general, you say dwarf or little person. Okay. I hope that answers the question.
Well, now that we're clear on that, we can proceed with the rest. Brad Williams is with us here on Wisconsin's Morning News. His show is coming up Saturday, April 11th at the Riverside Theater in Milwaukee.
Brad, I was reading a little bit about you, and the thing that kind of caught my attention right off the bat was the late Robin Williams referring to you as Prozac with a head. What is that all about?
Yes. I was doing a show, and it was in Mill Valley, California. I didn't know that Robin was there. He was there at the show. He lived there. And he just stormed into the green room after the show and walked right up to me and said, oh, my God, Mr. Williams, you are Prozac with a head. And it's the greatest thing anyone's ever said to me. It's going to be on my gravestone. But then the cool part was that the next night he had a show at the same theater. It's called the Throckmorton Theater. It only holds about 150 people. Very small theater. And he said, "Do you want to come to my show?" And I said, "Absolutely." So he saved two tickets for me and my opener in the front row. But when we walked in, Mill Valley, that area of California, there's a lot of money in that area, a lot of money. And there were two tickets reserved for a small theater show for Robin Williams in the front row. So people thought, "Oh my God, who's going to be walking in? Like, it's Robin Williams. It's in Mill Valley. Is this going to be Bill Gates? Is it going to be Barack Obama? Like, who is this going to be?" And then I walked in, and everyone just kind of goes, "Oh, it's a Make-A-Wish kid."
What a terrible disappointment. And no relation, we'll point out, right?
Mm-mm. No.
Williamses.
Despite the last name, I am not a Nepo baby. He wasn't going around in the 80s doing Mork and Mindy, and I was an accidental nanu. No, that was not me. That was one of the greater moments of my life. And that's why when people say, like, "Hey, so what's next in your career?" I go, "I don't know. And honestly, I don't care. I've had a heck of a run. Got to do some amazing things. I'm going to try to continue to do amazing things. But if it all ends tomorrow, man, I'm playing with house money." I mean, I played the Pabst Theater. The Pabst Theater was great. They have I don't know if you know this, they have a barista in the basement. I don't know if they let him out. I don't know if they give him a break. So my whole crew got fancy coffee drinks during the show. But now, moving on up to the Riverside. So I'll be at the Riverside Theater April 11th. Some tickets still available. And come see me. And if talk to people that were at the last show. I guarantee you they will tell you that they laughed. They may have cried. They thought. You're going to go through a whole gamut of emotions during my show.
Hey, Brad, last thing for you before we let you run. Do you find, talk about the comedy picture in general right now. Are we loosening back up a little bit as patrons or society? I felt like there was a period there where even some established comics were afraid of did the line change of what I can say and what I can do before I get canceled? Do you find us loosening back up a little bit?
I don't think we were ever that tight, but that's my opinion. Yeah. Because when you talk about the certain comedians that got quote unquote canceled, you know, where their careers ended, you go through names like Dave Chappelle, Shane Gillis, Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, and as you're going down that list, you're like, "Oh, all the people that sell out arenas." So I don't think, like, if that's what it means to be canceled, by all means, someone in Wisconsin, please cancel me, because I would love to sell out. I would love to sell out an arena. But I don't think we were ever at that point. I think what happened is that it used to be, if you saw a comedy show and you didn't like it, you maybe told a couple of friends about it, word of mouth, and that was it. But now everyone's got a platform. So when you see a tweet or a comment from chumbucket457, you think that that's like the comedy critic at the New York Times, and it's not. So it's not that people are getting canceled. It's just that the people that were angry about certain types of comedians got more of a voice and they were louder. Some of them have podcasts. Some of them have, Twitch accounts. But I always try to say the people that say the nicest things about you, don't believe them. The people that say the meanest things about you, don't believe them either. The answer is somewhere right in the middle. And so far, we are selling out shows and we are doing great. So it looks like I'm doing an okay job. But I am happy with the current state of comedy, because it used to be you only had like one or two comedians that could sell out an arena at any given time. Now I can name you 12 off the top of my head. Comedy's going great, and I love each and every person that buys a ticket to go out, whether it be see me do comedy or anyone. Let's laugh, people.
Brad Williams, his show is coming up at the Riverside Saturday, April 11th. What was that guy? Chumbucket75. I think he texted my show.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, man.
Yeah.
He's nasty.
Don't if you get anything from this interview, don't listen to Chumba.
He's terrible. Thanks, Brad. Look forward to having you back in Milwaukee.
Hey, thank you so much.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma Brand station.
Few minutes before 10 o'clock, one last time before we leave you here on Wisconsin's Morning News, taking a look at the weather. You have a chance of storms is your storm team forecast as temperatures will be falling into the afternoon. What we're seeing now is north of Milwaukee, we got some pretty strong storms. South of the state line got some pretty strong storms. And as for much of southeast Wisconsin, not much doing. The severe thunderstorm warning that had been issued by the National Weather Service for Fond du Lac County has since expired, but there is still storm activity there into Sheboygan County, Manitowoc County, Outagamie and Brown counties as well this morning. How many counties do you want me to name? I could name half the northern part of the state is getting in on some of this. But it looks like these are the kind, Michelle, that may pop up here and there and bubble up. So got to be aware of that today. It is 9:58. We yield to Point Taken with Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry. They're up next on News Radio 620 WTMJ.
No, it wasn't a false alarm.
False negative.
But Judge Milleron doesn't find it funny.
Don't joke around.
After telling the staffer to get out of his courtroom, the judge can be seen commenting to himself.
Sick and tired of this today. And I had a preference.